Good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. If you're visiting for the first time, welcome. And if you're visiting and it's not your first time, welcome. I'm just so glad to be here this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 56. We'll get there in a second. There's some things that have been going on in this church for about 9 months. Maybe close, we're getting up on a year here. And so I'm praying about a message this week and talk to a friend. And I'm like, I'm not sure I want to do that message this week. But I'll tell you, church member and visitor alike, I've been here since February, filling in as pastor. I've felt zero resistance from the congregation, not one time on changing things, on anything that's being taught, on my family, or anyway, and that includes visitors too. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about. With change comes fear, uncertainty, and best opportunity. Fear is we don't realize the fear that we have sometimes. It comes out of us in many different ways. Being controlling is a way to try to deal with our fear. Being mean is a way to deal with fear, to try to get it away from you. And having like fake emotions, happy because somebody wants me to be happy and I better please them. But the Lord doesn't want that from us. And so, he doesn't really want much uncertainty when we are trying to serve him, when we come to him. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace, he says. When the disciples were doubting, he told them all the time, fear not. Fear not because they're doubting. Now, and you got to think about that. Their fear, they were afraid, and so they doubted. They did not trust in Jesus. And I think one of the best things that can come out from change is the opportunity. What is the new opportunity that the change has presented you in your life? And more specific, what is the change in this church presented you with the opportunity with? I'll tell you, I have OneNote, OneDrive on my computer, and I have a bunch of pictures on there, and it sends me pictures every day, and it says this from, how many years ago or whatever. And there was a picture, and they're going to get upset here real quick. Grace was 4 and Anna was 7. First day of school, and it's about the first time that Grace is realizing that her sister is going to leave. And they're on the steps right by the door, and Grace is crying, and not fake crying. She's like devastated crying. And you won't see it today, but Anna has her arm around her and her head down, just listening and being there and trying to comfort her in this time of change. We tried to get Grace ready. Hey, sister's going to be going to school in the morning and she won't be here all day. And it didn't really sink in until it was time to change. And it's not that she wasn't ready for it, but there was fear. There was some uncertainty, and what she didn't realize was there was opportunity to have one-on-one time with mom now that sister's out of the picture. And so there's a lot of pictures of those too. It's just precious. Every time I see them, I show them, I send them to the family, and I you guys will know it went by too fast, right? That was like a couple weeks ago for me, but the only certainty in life is change. Change is to make someone or something different, alter or modify, to replace something with something else, especially something of the same kind that is newer or better, a substitute of another. And so this morning, I want to focus on the definition of change, where we're replacing one thing with another. We're not replacing our doctrine with a new doctrine, or our prayers with new prayers, or our care of each other with a different care for each other. What it is we're replacing our focus from a little scattered to very focused. Very focused. Gatesville is about ready to get, and I'm not, get lit on fire. Not specific, not, I'm figuratively saying that, okay? Things get on fire today. I don't know. It's about ready to, and it is. It is. There are new faces in this room that I've never seen before until Friday, until a couple of days ago, or a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of months ago. And it's because the focus of this church has gone from a little scattered, very directed, like a lantern to a laser. And we're going to be focused like that. And so come on for the opportunity of this change. Allow it. Allow yourself to be part of it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay to be uncertain. But seek the opportunity in what is happening. What's happening here right now is very exciting. I have been in church my whole life and have never seen anything like this before. I've never seen so many people that are coming to the Lord, so many people that are ready to submit their lives to the Lord and serve Him in His New Testament church at one time. It's blowing my mind, and I don't even really know how to deal with it besides continue to preach and continue to teach. And those two things we're not going to stop doing in this church. But one of the things that we will start doing is being focused. We're going to focus on this community. We're going to go forth in the power of God and spread the gospel. It's about the gospel. You know, my whole life, this is not the message. So let me come down. My whole life, I have tried to get people to come to church. Come to church with me. Come to church with me. It's not when you're dealing with souls, it's not about coming to church. It's about the gospel. Here's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He changed my life. That's what this community is going to get saturated with, and it's going to be because of this church. We have the responsibility as a New Testament church to go with that Great Commission. Go. We need to give the gospel to every creature. We can't let up on that. And we have to be full pedal to the metal because Jesus is coming back. There's a lot of lost souls out here. And Jesus is coming back. And we're responsible. We will be held responsible as a church of that message of the gospel being preached to this community. This community. All right. I'm off that one. Psalm chapter 53, a fear of change. Psalm 53 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If you read through the psalm, okay, read through the book of Psalm. I've done it a few times where I wake up in the morning and I read a psalm. Some of them are long, okay, so give yourself some time on those mornings. Some of them are real short. This idea of trust, especially trusting in God, is all through the psalm. And the idea of fear is all through the psalm also. And the remedy for fear is the Lord. It is the Lord. When you have the Lord, the fear of man, the fear of loss, the fear of the unknown is a whole lot less, especially when you got your eyes focused on Him, when you're working for Him. I thought I didn't like knocking on doors. And it's because I was doing it out of, I had to do it. I felt like I had to go do this. When you go because you're doing it for the Lord, it makes it so much easier. Because if the person on the other side of the door, if they have dogs, I'm still scared. Little ones, whatever, they can get the boot. But I screamed one morning. Remember that? Oh, man. But, you know, if they say no, thank you, they're nice here. In Washington, they are not nice. They're not nice. They're mean. They'll call you names and chase you. But let's think about some characters here in the Bible, some people. You know, Peter was always the one to open his mouth and give an answer. Sometimes he was right. Sometimes he was wrong. If you look at the lists, we have three lists of the 12 apostles in Scripture. Peter's always first. And there's actually, we'll get to this some other time, three groups of four. No. Yeah. Four groups of three. Anyways, Peter's always first. He's always the one talking. He's always the one wondering what the Lord wants. There was one time where he said, the Lord's like, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, be it far from thee, Lord. And what did the Lord say? He said, get behind me, Satan. Was he Satan? No, but Satan's work was to stop Jesus from getting on the cross. And then when he was there, it was to get him off the cross. But it didn't work. And Peter was influenced, saved, baptized, church member, influenced by Satan. Yes, yes. Let me give you an easy way to know if you're influenced and it's not by God. You're having problem with a brother or sister. You got some sort of an issue with them. That's easy. Well, I don't know why I just don't like that person. Really? We're supposed to love one another. That's how the world is going to know us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid and make it about somebody else. Understand your fear and go to the Lord with it. The Jews, some of the biggest scaredy cats in Scripture, they constantly railed on him, tested him. They tried to usurp his authority over and over again. They were doubting who he said he was. They even the miracles, some of the biggest miracles, like when he rose Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to put him to death. Lazarus, because Jesus rose from brought him back from the dead. That doesn't make any sense because they were fearful. You will do things that make no sense. It's unreal. A child with a shot. You ever seen one that's super scared of getting the shot? Unrealistic what they'll do to get away from it. They're afraid. Some teenagers are super afraid of getting their blood drawn. Some adults are still afraid of shots. You'll do unrealistic things when you're afraid. But when you're focusing on the Lord, that fear dissipates and you're going to do things that are unrealistic to the world, but super powerful when it comes to the kingdom of God. Allow that fear to take over and you will be stunted in your growth for the Lord. You will be stunted in your work for the Lord. That's where Satan wants you. His biggest tool is fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear. Don't allow things that are made up in your mind, which is the battleground between the flesh and the spirit, to dissuade you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. It will. It will. And it will easily. Well, we talked about fear of change. What about uncertainty of change? I can remember I joined the Navy on August 8th, 2001. And that was uncertain enough. But September 11th, 2001 came around and everything changed. I was in boot camp when that happened. Everything changed. We never left the base. As soon as we left, everything was different than it was before. There was an uncertainty with that change. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 45. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Gatesville? Yeah. This New Testament church, Tell you that much right now. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Philip's not scared. Philip's not uncertain. He knows for sure. He sees the opportunity for change. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. His uncertainty is about ready to change into the opportunity. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He knew for sure. He knew for sure. And Jesus says, because I saw thee under the tree, believest thou? Yep. That's all it took for Nathanael, a little bit. Some people it takes more, and some people it takes more. But with Nathanael here, it didn't take very much because he didn't fear it to begin with. He started with uncertainty and moved into the opportunity. Opportunity for what, Brother Luke? The opportunity to follow Jesus. Let me say, and this isn't part of the message either. How did Philip know Nathanael? They weren't brothers or cousins. You can look in scripture. They really didn't know each other. They were both baptized by John the Baptist, and they both saw Jesus be baptized. They heard the voice of God, and they saw the dove descending. As soon as Nathanael realized, that's Jesus, that is Jesus, this is that guy, boom, he believed. He already had salvation, but he believed, now I'm going to follow this guy. Now I know I'm going to follow this guy. There's opportunity here. The disciples, they questioned him. Remember Andrew said, show us the way. Jesus saith unto him, you don't know the way? And you've been with me so long, Philip. Did I say Andrew? Philip. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They should have known that, but they were uncertain. They were uncertain. They asked, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said over and over again, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. I do the will of my Father. They should have known this. But as soon as they got it, there was no more uncertainty. When Paul was converted, right, on the road to Damascus, when he was struck down with a bright light, and Jesus says unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul says, Lord? Yeah, it's the Lord. You should have known that already. He should have known it already. He went from uncertain to opportunity. But remember, he went on into Damascus, and then the Lord called this man Ananias, and he said, go find Saul, for he prayeth. And Ananias is like, Lord, he kills people. He kills Christians. And the Lord is like, don't you worry about that. He's a chosen vessel unto me. He went and what? He laid his hands on him. The scales went away. He was baptized. And Paul was a great missionary for the Lord. He probably pushed the gospel farther and in more places and was responsible in more churches than any other man ever. And Ananias went from uncertainty to the opportunity. What a wonderful thing. And so opportunities for change. Let's turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. Two prophets. Really, there was one prophet for 1 Kings, and there's a prophet for 2 Kings. The one in 1 Kings, you'll recognize the name Elijah with a J, Elijah. And then for 2 Kings, Elisha with an S, Elisha. They are not the same guy. So, Elijah was first, Elisha was second. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of 2 Kings, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee. Behold, I be taken away from thee." Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it. If you read through this account, over and over and over again, Elijah tells him, go home. This is where he's ultimately going, is to be caught up together with the Lord. Okay? And Elisha, it kept on saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm following you. I want to be part of this. I want to see this happen. And he did see it happen. And there was a double portion. Elijah had 7 miracles. Guess. Somebody guess. How many did Elisha have? 14. 14. He did 14 things for the Lord. And it was like that throughout his ministry, over and over again. Elisha was not afraid. He wasn't even uncertain. He knew for sure that the Lord was going to take him up. He knew for sure that he was going to get this double portion. He went forth. And after he died, after Elijah died, there wasn't this sudden instability in his ministry or in his life, because he was focused on the Lord. The Lord never changes. Never changes. That's why at the beginning I said our doctrine will never change. Our prayer will never change. Never. Because God never changes. This is his word. His word never changes. Why would we change anything? Unless we figure out it's wrong. But I've got an unction from the Holy Spirit, not in a weird way, in a biblical way, that what we teach and what we preach is true. It's true. And pray, isn't it great that we can have the Word of God so that we can be certain of things and not uncertain? We don't have to sit around and wonder, are we doing it right? Can we do it a different way? No, we are doing it right because the Word of God says it. And no, we can't do it our own way because the Word of God says it. It is what it is. It says what it says, and that's it. The Word of God and the understanding of the Word of God is not so far off that you can't understand it. It is right there. It is easy to understand. Well, I don't understand. I can't read the King James. My kids learn to read the Bible. They learn to read with the King James Bible. It's not a hard book. It doesn't make sense to have something that is uncertain try to be certain for you. When you remove things from the Bible or add things to the Bible, that makes it uncertain. That is man getting in there. It's God's word. He didn't allow us to be part of it except to pen what he said. God breathed. The word of God, God breathed is the word of God. Do not be fooled by this world. Trust me, they want to fool you. They want to take the power of the Word of God away. Satan hates the Word of God. He knows it. He knows it. He hates it. Peter, he went from fear in denying Jesus to opportunity when he preached at Pentecost. Remember, Peter has one of the best sermons in Scripture. I would say at the top of the not Jesus sermons in Scripture is that day of Pentecost. It was amazing. And what happened on that day of Pentecost? They received the Holy Spirit as comforter on that day of Pentecost. The power to go forth, they received that. And Peter wrote 2 books. 2 Peter tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter is in that list of holy men of God, but he denied the Lord. He walked away from the Lord. He called him Satan. Yeah, well, he's a forgiving God. We have a forgiving God who is ready. He's ready and willing to not just to the lost, not just to the saved, everybody. Don't be afraid to boldly approach that throne of God. The Jews, what kind of people were there on that day of Pentecost? They were lost, Jews or Gentiles? Jews. They came out of everywhere. 3,000 of them joined the church that day. 3,000. It doesn't say 3,000 got saved or 3,000 were bad. It said 3,000 were added unto them. Were added unto them. And there were 3,000 of them. These ones weren't afraid. They didn't accuse. They didn't project. They just gave God the glory and did what God wanted. What? Got baptized, got saved, got baptized, joined the church. That's how you give God glory. That's what he wants from you. That's the will of God, is that if you were here on Friday, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's the will of God. Not some men, not only the ones that he chooses, all. Last time I checked, all means all. There is not some that God is predestined for salvation. That's crazy. What that does is it excludes people from who you're going to give the gospel to. Why would I give the gospel to anybody? I mean, they're going to get saved if, you know, either way. Why would we do that? That is not scriptural. That is not what the scripture teaches us. The disciples, remember, how many of them left? How many of them fled when Jesus went to the trials before the Jews and the Gentiles? Remember how many of them left? All of them but John. All of them but John. And then they were like, we don't believe. When Mary came to them, right? They weren't like, oh yeah. Doubting Thomas, he missed the first church service after Jesus Christ rose from the grave that night. He missed it. And he said, I'm not going to believe. Matthew 28, verse 17 through 20 is our Great Commission. Let's turn there. Get used to this one. If you don't have it memorized, church member, memorize it, because this is our call. This is what we're supposed to be involved with. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is the Great Commission. What's the first word? Go. Who did he give this commission to? His church. His church. You're telling me those disciples that forsook him when he went to the cross? Yes. Those exact people were in charge of propagating this message. It was those guys. Don't be afraid. Ananias. Did he hesitate? Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Just in case. Notice the progression here. In verse 10, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was Saul's next target. The church in Damascus was the next target. And here he hath authority, and I hear he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon his name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And behold, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it has been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Paul was saved. He got saved on the street, on the road to Damascus. Why did he put his hands on him? To give him his sight back. It wasn't anything special. He's not ordaining him or healing him. It was just to get his eyesight back. And then he got baptized and joined the church, and then he got the Holy Spirit as comforter. These things the Lord is pleased with. Do not be afraid of change. As our song leader and piano player come and start playing softly, whether it's a change in what you believe, right? Let's stand. What do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or is there something else that you're trusting in? Something else that you're trusting in, I would say, is fear. Fear. Why fear? Jesus said, fear not, over and over again to his disciples. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's fear with man, but with Jesus, casteth out all fear. There is a strong consolation in Jesus Christ. Salvation is that free gift that every person needs. Whether you have been a church member for your whole life, or you grew up in church, or you were an atheist, and you're wondering, is this true? It's true. Friend, it's true. Don't allow your fear to come between you and salvation.